Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
You know what I say about the young.
Oh, he knows the lyrics now.
That's
a bunch of words thrown together.
Oh,
it's
my
his favorite,
God, dude. Look, I invite
anybody. Everything is a bunch of words thrown together.
I invite anybody listening to listen to the song Send Me On My Way by Rusted Root and try to figure out any of the English words in that song.
Or better yet, don't listen to it.
Yeah. No, I still suggest listening to it because it's a classic. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 312. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddle yes. Yo soy Matty Ding Dong.
You know what I say about the young. This is you know what I say, right?
You know what I say about the Rhett.
They wouldn't get my name from there, right? Would they?
Rhett.
Yes. There you go. I'll just do
Rhett. Some people don't get your name from there, Rhett.
Rhett.
I want to give him a shout out.
Like now?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Shout out to that dude in Germany who calls me Rhett. I think he stopped, though. I just want you to know. But he's messaging me good stuff, though. He listens. He's listening in Germany.
He tells you about the adrenochrome.
Yeah, those Germans, they got a reputation for listening in.
He's really got his finger on the adrenochrome pulse.
I think that's Stalin's DK in NY KGB.
Oh, he made precursor. Stalin made a cologne?
Yes.
In underwear?
No, Stalin Dracar Noir.
DKNY, wasn't that
Daniel Franz in Germany.
Yeah, Hans Franz.
Yes, yes. He's recommending De Palma films, talking to me about In the Earth, and some other good stuff. And then he also agrees with us about the shittiness of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, good. He's clearly a wise man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, because there's some people that are out here defending that movie and defending Spiral and defending Army of the Dead.
Dude, this has been a rough couple months, man.
I think people have shell shock because of the pandemic and they're just fucking all
like, any movie, any new movie, please, good.
Can we take a second to suck Cal's dick, though? How rad was that fucking art?
That, I mean, look, dude, the stark contrast between the quality of the art and the quality of the movie is not lost on me.
I feel
man.
Like you say something like that almost every week. You're like, this art is amazing. It's
I'm excited when he's got up in his cockles for this week.
Bro, by the end of the month, he's going to be like, if I never draw another fucking zombie again. Yeah.
Well, it would have been a much more fun premise to have Dave Bautista playing a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And totally. just fucking body slamming zombies in Vegas. Like just destroying
them. It almost seems like there's a bit there, like where we, I don't know, write sequels or something.
Pitch the sequel.
But that would take time.
Coming soon.
It literally would take time.
Improv
Matthew.
Is not a thing. That's.
It's not about improv. It's about figuring out the bit.
No, the bit is, hey, that's a good idea. Now pitch me a sequel.
Okay, you go first.
For
how about that?
For what
go
movie?
First.
For
you
what
go
movie?
First. Whatever.
We just for fucking started it with Dave Bautista playing a wrestler. Fucking
there you
up.
Go. Okay, so Rhett has it.
Body slamming zombies in Vegas.
Yeah, no. Just go.
So Sad Dave. It's all Sad Dave.
What is this a sequel to?
He's dead. Well, yeah, I thought we were doing fucking...
a sequel to Army of the Dead?
Yeah, isn't it? Because Rhett just had a sequel where he's a fucking wrestler and he's just body slamming people.
Just an alternate version of Army.
Well, maybe he comes back as a... Maybe he comes back as a...
No, he's just a
hyper zombie.
He's a sad zombie now. Like, that's it. He just cries the whole time. So it's kind of like Binding of Isaac where he's just going on a spiritual path, you know? He's like really trying to find himself through this whole thing.
As a zombie.
Yes. But a sad zombie. Zombies.
So it's like Warm Bodies, but with Dave Bautista.
Did I ever watch Warm Bodies?
That's actually not too.
I don't think I did.
That sounds
pretty dope. Actually,
yeah, there you go. Could be good. Sad Dave as a zombie.
Yeah,
after
who
losing
in,
his
who
daughter.
Falls in love.
Nobody
got to fall in love.
Dave falls in love. Sad Dave.
Yeah, sad.
He falls in love with another dude.
He falls in love.
Why not?
With a reflection of himself. That's what it is.
Oh, so it's a rip-on narcissist.
He sees his own muscles, and then he drowns in a lake of his own tears.
That's not a good pitch.
It's not that you.
When does he body slam the zombies?
See, well, that's your pitch. My pitch is different. My pitch is just sad Dave wandering.
I feel like he's got to get another zombie impregnated and raise the zombie baby. I think that's what's got to happen.
Just for Dave? Or are we talking the zombie king? Who are we talking?
Yeah, no, zombie king. Zombie king's got to go. He's got to go. Go, go, go.
Write the spiral sequel.
Everybody dies at the opening credits.
Dude, everybody gets. I'm like, Chris Rock is watching Spiral 1 and he's like, what the fuck did I do?
No. The end. What do you think he thinks of this movie? Do you think there's knocked it out of the park, dude?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't.
Did you see this? There was a newly released poster for Spiral
with the
traffic lights. Have you seen this garbage?
Oh yeah, traffic lights. Yeah, I saw that. That's old. Yeah.
Well, so it's the first time I've seen it.
Looks great with the cinematography.
And I was like, what did they make a fucking Drive poster and take a left turn?
Oh, for sure. Super abstract and atmospheric, dude. It's like A24 Spiral.
Bro, there's layers there. It's deep. It's complex.
Jesus, dude. Because it says the book of, therefore, yo, layers.
Patreon, I love y'all, but some of y'all need help.
Patreon been real quiet the last 3 weeks talking about current movies, man.
Yeah, they're like, ooh.
Oh, Patreon.
I like all these awful
you
movies.
Mean Discord. The guys are going to
slam. I'm sorry, yeah, Discord.
That's what I mean. Discord. I really, we can't, if I'm like doing the show talking directly to Discord, I mean, that's not good.
That's not good, dude. Yeah, that's a bad direction. Speaking of which, though.
Not that I know, I like talking to those guys, but there's more listeners than that, for Christ's sake.
Speaking of which, tell these people about Patreon.
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. It's kind of like that scene in Pretty Woman. You know, of course, we're Julia Roberts because we're hot as fuck. We wear skimpy clothes and we're always on the verge of getting fucked by hosting fees,
by fucking Richard Gere,
software upgrades,
his hamster and ass,
Richard Gere's veiny old dick.
Well, at that point, it wasn't old.
You guys.
He was just hot, bro.
You guys are like that gold coin condom. Crawford. With your coverage, nothing is getting through to this sucker. We've got all the protection we need. When you go to patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast and you pull out your credit card and you drop a fat load into the subscription box, then you don't have to pull out of our hot, wet mouths. We'll just give you.
This is making me real.
You remember Tom Cruise's bit in Magnolia? We're approaching that. Respect the cock.
We're getting to critical mass here. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I'm not
on. Pull out now, like
I'm
you
not,
were saying.
I'm pull, not uncomfortable out, with the direction this is going, but see, I'm leading towards being uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. So you know, drop a hot load. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast.
Damn.
Gold star.
Okay, so he's been doing too much erotic fiction.
Gold coin condom.
That's the problem.
Can the women drop hot loads too?
Yeah.
What kind of loads would they be dropping?
With their credit card subscription loads.
Oh,
that's what I said.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Drop a hot subscription load.
Right.
Hot load into the subscription box.
That's not. That shit was a mistake.
That's good.
Anywho, but how you been, fellas? Y'all good?
I'm good. I've had an up and down, a whirlwind of a week.
Why is that?
Well, I had the ups. I was in a movie, which was super, super fun.
Did you get ruined in it?
No, I didn't.
Did you want to ruin anybody in it?
No, everybody was really cool. Everybody was really nice and really welcoming. And I went from being a shirtless corpse to actually having lines in the movie. And that was super fun. And
who was in this movie with you?
Ari Lehman from first, he was the guy that played the original Jason in Friday the 13th.
He's the dude who comes like and tries to drag the
jumps out of the
chick
water
out of the rowboat.
Yep, okay. He's the little deformed boy, you know, in the lake.
Can you not call him deformed? He was very handsome.
He was deformed though.
No,
that's very the whole handsome. Point. Eileen Dietz, who played Pazuzu in Exorcist, was in it. Sean Whalen, who played Roach in People Under Sean Stairs, Whalen was in it.
Scott Whalen,
of course, he's in everything.
Can I ask a question?
Leanna Quigley was in it.
Without like offending the horror community,
probably not
as a whole.
It's probably not going to work.
It's not going to work, obviously. Yeah. But I don't. You know what I don't understand the fascination with?
What's that?
Actors that played a character as a child once, and then they're famous forever.
Dude, Jorge.
It's nostalgia.
What do you mean you don't understand it?
I just don't get it. Like, why has Ari Lehman been in anything else besides being Jason once.
He's you know, had bit parts in like a lot of things.
You know, I get where you're coming from, but you do understand it. You just don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. You understand it.
No, maybe I don't understand it either.
People are fucking dumb.
Ah, there it is. Got it. Okay.
Okay. And I'm dumb about shit too. Like if I met like the key grip.
Well, you like the room.
Yeah.
So
if the
smile on his face when he met Tommy Wiseau.
Oh my God.
And Tommy didn't even do anything good.
Yep, that's not. He did something beyond good. He doesn't fall into good or bad stuff.
He transcends good or bad.
He does. Because
like
he's the most avant-garde because he doesn't even know what avant-garde is.
Not that I want to disparage the actors, but when you say she played Pazuzu,
right?
What do you mean?
She was fucking Pazuzu.
She was Pazuzu and she was Reagan's stunt double.
The one with the face in the dark.
Yeah, I know that, but there was no playing to have done.
She was the face, but she carried
that energy to celluloid.
She was also
Reagan's
stunt double, so she did like the masturbation scene and all that stuff. So,
oh.
Yeah.
She's the one fucking the cross.
Yeah, she let Jesus fuck her.
Hmm.
And then on Sunday, I got to be a contestant on a game show, which I won, and then recorded 4 more episodes, which I also won. So I'm on 5 episodes of that show, and then I'm filming more episodes at the end of the month and doing a tournament of champions.
What did you win?
Unfortunately, I choked in the the prize round a bunch of times. So far, I've won $320. Which is cool.
Can you say the name of the game or because it hasn't released yet?
No, it's called Say What. I'm not on the show yet.
It's called
Cock
Gobblers.
But I will be soon. I'm not exactly sure when it airs, but they're about half hour episodes. It's me and 2 other people, and it's basically like lip reading Jeopardy kind of thing. Yo, there's like 2 episodes that are just complete fucking blowouts where like I felt real bad at the end of the episode. Like there's 2 girls that I just annihilated. I just destroyed
this them. Was live, or did you do this over the
this was
over the
this
internet?
Was done over Zoom. Yeah, so everybody's just like in their own homes being
is
recorded.
It fair to say you ruined them?
I did. I ruined them.
A lot
hard.
Of ruining happening. A
lot of ruining. And then my poor kitty got sick. We don't know why or how, but he was doing real poor for like 3 days.
How's he doing now?
He's great now. We still have no idea what caused it. They ran a panel for
just
like
pets doing pet things.
On Dude. Discord, when you brought it up in the Saw Dudes, I was going to be like, can you put this in the pet section, please? But I figured that would be insensitive.
Probably. Yeah.
I'm glad you checked yourself on that one.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You're showing real growth there.
I'm impressed. Right? I'm impressed.
But yeah, he just wasn't doing real good. And we took him to the vet and it turned out he had like 106 fever and... I had no idea what it is, so he was just on antibiotics, and fucking over $2,000 later, he's fine.
I mean, at this point, you've got to hustle to just...
Maybe dude, he had like a
keep,
fucking worm
keep
or
taking
something.
Care of your
so
pets that go to the ER.
Stupid, dude. Chunks went to the ER, and I finally got that paid off, and now we got $2,000 for Juice, and now the other cat like still has fucking super watery diarrheneys, and we got to take him into the diarrheneys. Vet, which is going to be another few $100. Jesus.
Moral of the story is don't have pets.
Moral of the story is
basically
don't do anything.
Life
gonna,
is hard.
I was going to say kill yourself, but
so
I didn't want somebody
I.
taking me.
So am I.
Yeah.
Better give me something before I don't die.
Novocaine.
Yeah,
that's right.
For the soul.
Before I
sputter out.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a great song.
How you been? How
I
you
used
been?
To always change that song.
That whole album is great, actually.
What was that, The Eels?
Yeah, The Eels.
I know you've been having a week. You've been a little testy.
Have I?
I mean, let me check my text thread, but I think so.
No. It was a specific day that I was fairly testy. I was like balls deep in this really complicated repair. And... was apparently suffering no inconsistencies is what I was.
No inconsistencies.
Yeah, I don't know how else to put it.
Low threshold for nonsense.
No, it wasn't even nonsense. I had no patience. I was out.
So
I was
sick of complacence. I got no patience now.
I was out of it. I was just out of yeah. Hey. But no, otherwise
I was out of it too because
could have ruined your whole week.
This guy brought up fucking productivity metrics, Right, I'm getting up. We get the same shit at work, and I had fucking been hearing it left and right, left and right. He brought it up. I'm all, fuck no. So I did the same thing. But I did want to say in person, congratulations, man, because it means personally. It means personally that you've simplified your you don't have to like worry about getting the numbers up and shit.
I just have to stay there now. I have to
maximize.
No, you don't. Don't do. We can't do that to ourselves. That's why, like I said, I hit a 76 when I needed to hit 60 in December. And I'm like, oh, I got to stay there now. Fuck that.
Red's like, I'm going to send even we get paid more weird audio clips.
If we stay there, they give us more work. That's what happens. Fuck them. Dude, sorry.
You guys should just get hurt at work and then not do anything for a year.
Yeah.
Listener.
Super fun.
Yeah, listener, super fun.
Well, yeah, like this fuck. What is that about?
What is what about?
How did you get hurt? What do I need to do to get the back injury?
Hurt? Well, you seem to work with incompetent people, so just be around them long enough and somebody will hurt you.
What if they hurt me emotionally? Like
somebody's already hurt you.
They have hurt me.
Yeah.
They hurt me by fucking breathing.
Show me on Jorge where they hurt
you. They hurt me by inhabiting the same workspace.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty mean.
But otherwise, no, my week was good. I had a day off today, which was wonderful. We went to the zoo. It was great.
Oh, shit. How was
it? Oh, you mean you were right by my house? Didn't even hit me up? I see how it is.
Yeah, I was with my family.
Your family likes me.
Would you have gone to the zoo?
No.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
But, you know, maybe I would have wanted
to be invited. Wanted to be invited.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe I just want to feel included. That's the thing, you know?
I don't even know if you're in San Diego anymore.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right there. I'm right next to the zoo.
No, I mean, like,
we don't know if you're jet setting. Right,
that's what I mean. Dude.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
He's all, yeah, I get it. I don't blame you.
It makes sense.
I might be with Pazuzu in Europe.
No, but I might be with the window pane that played the window in the Amityville horror movie.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What was the highlight of the zoo?
They got a couple new exhibits. They got a Komodo dragon exhibit, which is pretty dope. They've got a new hummingbird exhibit, which is pretty dope.
Did you get to watch the monkeys do it?
This one monkey dude was sleeping like I wish I could ever. The monkeys know how to sleep, dude.
Yeah, they do.
For sure.
They also know how to jack off.
That's why they sleep so well. I just jacked off and threw it at someone. I'm going to bed. I'm spent.
I've seen a walrus jerk off before. He just kind of flipped his little thing and then flung his cum everywhere. It was really fucking gross. It was at some water park a water park / SeaWorld thing up by like San Francisco, and he's just sitting there doing this with his flipper. And then, like, as he comes, it's just flinging the jizz everywhere.
Have you ever seen a hippo shit?
No. Not that I can recall.
Not except
Ace Ventura. Wait, is it the one where they fling their tail and it's it's like throwing shit into a fan.
Their tail goes in a little fucking circles and it fucking flings their shit.
It cleans it off their asshole, right?
Yeah,
that's evolution.
Nature's rad. Nature's fucking lit.
You know the only other spiral I want to see? Duck dick.
Yeah. Good. That's good stuff. Mm-mm. You know what else is good stuff? Sweet Tooth on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah. Alia read the comics like when they were like, I mean, they might still be coming out, but we're, I think we're like 3 or 4 episodes in and it's real good. Like according to her, like obviously they've changed some things, but it's awful true to the, I guess true to the comics, but
jeez, these reviews are insane,
dude. It's so good. Like it's beautiful too. The colors,
New Zealand,
the colors in this thing are amazing.
It's fucking New Zealand, man.
It's got like a little kid that does like, you know, the main part of the acting. And
he's a little kid. I'm out.
He's
a kid with antlers, right?
Yeah. It's like that Fallout Boy video, but, I'm
out again.
Just by association. I'm out.
But yeah, that's kind of the only thing I've been watching really is like, I've watched some of that and, just shit with the cat has been crazy this week. Mm-hmm. Haven't even really been on Twitch because of it. Missed more days in this last week than I did all month last month.
Mm. Well, get to it.
I did today. I'm probably going to do it when I get home from here now because I'm out of weed and I'm all hopped up on caffeine now. So
needed something to do.
Woo.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, little homie?
How you been, little homie?
I've been good, little homie.
That's good, dude. Pull up. So something I forgot to mention last week, that I would be remiss if it went by completely. The moment has passed.
Hi, Sophia.
Well, hi, Sophia. That, But I don't think I forgot to mention that. But I watched a little bit of Friends, the reunion.
Ugh. Why would you do that? Did you see the part with BTS in it?
No, because it's on HBO Max, and I hate that show. I've always hated that show.
It sucks.
I low-key kind of hate people who like the show. If you think I'm joking, I'm kind of not.
No, I know there's
listeners who like it, and I'm sorry, but I kind of like, I don't know. Okay, so anyway, and I think it's worse now than it was back then.
Did you know that that's actually the guy from Daughter's favorite show?
Yeah, Lex Marshall?
Yeah.
I really don't think so.
He loves that show.
No, actually, he loves Pixar movies, though.
He loves Pixar movie and Friends.
Yeah, don't fuck like that.
Just one.
He loves Pixar movie.
He loves one, Pixar
two,
movie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, yeah.
But, dude, this fucking thing was awful, dude. Awful, awful. And they had that James fucking Corden guy come out and host it. But they gave some figure that... Something like some insane figure, like 500 billion hours of Friends have been watched worldwide. That's just a mistake. But I got about 15 minutes in and had to go.
The people that like the actors that get like a good cut of the reruns on the syndication on that thing, they're disgustingly rich.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And then they showed the three creators of the show.
Because they were making like a... Weren't they making over $1 million each per episode at the end?
It's a stupid amount of money.
When like all they did was literally just sat around and did fuck all in their episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say the same thing about Seinfeld, but at least that shit was funny, man. Seinfeld,
they went places. They did things. They were funny. They had situations they got in.
I'm not even that into sitcoms in general, so Friends is definitely not.
Yeah.
Not
a bad sitcom at that. Yeah.
It's like one of the worst pop culture artifacts ever to me.
I agree.
So anyway, it's like, why did you watch? Because I fucking wanted to see how bad
you wanted
this
to be in the zeitgeist.
I want to get pissed off. And I did. And Matthew Perry, he showed up and started like saying stuff. And Sophia's like, what's up with him? I'm like, he's fucking wasted. And sure enough, like the whole internet exploded. Like Matthew Perry's problems with substance use. I'm like, was he actually wasted?
If he wasn't, then he's just fucking. I saw all these news things popping up that were like, why Matthew Perry was slurring his speech. And I assumed it was something like he'd had a stroke or something like that. And it was just because he was drunk.
It's the same reason that Jorge slurs his speech on Who Goes There, because he's drunk as shit.
Nah, dude, this was Matthew Perry slurring his speech.
Hell yeah,
that means he must have been like lit.
It was not good.
It's awesome.
Hella lit.
I wouldn't even hate fuck that show, dude. No way.
Let me get to this old stuff. I'd never seen, believe it or not, I had never seen Brazil. Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
Brazil.
I don't even know what you're talking about. It's a fucking cult classic from the '80s.
Phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. And it's considered Terry Gilliam's masterpiece. Terry Gilliam, for those unaware, like Mateo probably, he hailed from Monty Python, and then he did Time Bandits, he did Baron Munchausen, he did Brazil, obviously, he did 13 Monkeys, he did The Fisher King.
13 Monkeys?
12 Monkeys.
I was like, is that a sequel to 12 Monkeys?
Yes. I'll pitch the sequel in a minute.
To 12 Monkeys.
He did
16. It's called 13 Monkeys. There's one more monkey.
He did 16 monk fucks.
There's another monkey. Why is there one more monkey?
Anyway, Brazil is fucking, it was really, really, really awesome. And it's a satire, and it takes place in like a fantasy dystopian future. And, you know, chances are if you're interested in that kind of thing, you've already seen it. But I waited my whole life. You seen it, Jorge?
Yes. Yeah, fantastic. Actually, speaking of not necessarily the same genre, but have you seen Playtime recently?
No.
It's a 1967 movie by a director and last name of Tati. I don't know if you're familiar with this guy.
No.
Dude, it's fucking, it's like 60s surrealism comedy, like, It's bonkers. So this YouTuber,
ooh, it looks crazy.
It's awesome. This YouTuber Dunkey did a review not too recently, or fairly recently.
Is this Hard on Collider shit? Where did this come from?
It might be Hard on Collider shit, because I only saw it like a week ago, and then he posted a video about it, which really tripped me out. It's good.
You watched it, huh?
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic.
Dude.
Highly recommended.
And in the same vein, I watched another art house film, but this one from 1997 called I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, damn. I've heard of that.
Yes. Dude, I had not seen this. I had not seen this since 10th grade in the theater, and I was fucking blitzed. Whew.
It has Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar. This is obvious to people, but I was like, what? This is, it's a full deck. It's got fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt's tits.
It's a full deck.
It's got Ryan Phillippe acting like a fucking.
It does not have Jennifer Love Hewitt's tits.
A lot.
There are none of them. They're in tank tops.
This better than showing them because they keep suggesting them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes the suggestion is better than the actual.
I'm on board.
And they keep showing Sarah Michelle Gellar's legs like it's like, oh, wow, look at those.
Like she's not 5 feet tall.
What are these? I don't know. And it just kept reminding me of my girlfriend from high school. Wait a minute.
Oh, Jennifer.
Yes. But that movie is awful and it's fucking hilarious and it's 1997 and boy, is it 1997.
Like, yeah, that feels like one of those movies that is like super 90s. Yeah.
They're like, you know what was good? Scream. And you know what we should do? Ruin that.
And it's really bad because it's in like a fishing town in North Carolina with nothing but white people.
In North Carolina?
No. And they're like bitching about their Mercedes cars that were given to them and shit. And it's just like...
My Mercedes car.
Exactly.
Oh, my Ford truck.
My Pixar movie. Like, and Mercedes
car. My dad bought me a Mercedes car for Christmas.
But, right, like, dude, they're, you know, the part... I had forgot, like, Scary Movie where she turns around in a circle and says, what are you waiting for?
Oh,
I didn't know or remember that was...
Yeah.
Directly from that movie.
Yeah. See, that's the problem with those scary movies is you have to like be there to get all the references. Otherwise, the movie is just a disjointed mess.
Well, it was just even more surreal because I'm like, whoa, I thought just that was Scary Movie being ridiculous. But no, this was...
this was done in earnest.
It's a pool.
Yeah, like, fuck. And Ryan Phillippe, I don't know what he's doing, dude. When he gets hit by a car, it's like, oh, yes.
Fuck. Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Freddie Prinze Jr.?
He writes for WWE now.
Him and Sarah Michelle Gellar got together and have, like, fucking a lot of kids and left Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, not entirely.
Not entirely, because he writes for...
He's a writer for WWE. So he's the one to blame. Well, Vince is the one to blame.
Well, that makes... Yeah, he's not a very, very good actor either.
He's a huge wrestling fan, though. I guess his dad was, too. And weird stuff.
You act like that gives him some kind of pass, man.
No, but it's... I mean, it does a little bit. It gives him a little bit of credit. It's like, okay, cool.
God damn it.
Like wrestling.
Not in my fucking book. It makes it worse.
He's like, not in my town.
He also loves daughters.
Dope. No, he doesn't.
That's like the ultimate. That's like
he loves Hooba Stink.
He definitely does love Hooba Stink. Nuts to butts, that motherfucker has a Hooba Stank signed poster in his office.
I watched two new things.
He had the fucking Reason playing at his wedding. It was his first dance.
Oh, guaranteed, dude. Guaranteed.
Oh, my. Can you imagine how many fucking white people had their first dance be the Reason?
A lot.
For sure. It's all white people, too. There's nobody other than white people that listen to Hooba Stank. I don't even think the singer is white, but only white people listen to
him. And, well, some certain Asians.
Maybe.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. I watched it at midnight on Thursday.
We're not going to do an episode on it because Matt has...
We're definitely not doing it. Yes.
I haven't vetoed anything. Rhett said he doesn't want to do an episode. I would veto it if I had to.
I didn't want to. I'm not going to push for... Why would I push for that? And after seeing it, no, I'm not going to push for that. No. No, 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 no. I give this movie 2 stars out of 5. It's the least of the Conjuring, direct Conjuring films. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that it's doing something different than the haunted house trope. But as people mentioned, like you guys read on Discord, but like it doesn't have James Wan's direction. And therefore, like, if Matt thinks the stuff's predictable,
the Warrens didn't consult on this one either.
They're dead.
I thought they consulted on the other ones.
She died like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, anyway, it does take an interesting premise, and it introduces some kind of interesting elements, which are completely fabricated with Satanism and totems and underground caverns, and the plot is fucking ridiculous. The two leads are still appealing, and it has a couple effective little sequences. But otherwise, I wouldn't waste your time.
She makes me feel warm in my every place.
Who, Vera?
The funny thing is...
Not Patricia Arquette, Vera Farmiga, that's right.
That that movie, that was a real test of me being able to bite my tongue, because when I first got to the set on Friday, one of the first things when I met people, they were talking about the new Conjuring movie, and like they were talking about how they loved them. And I'm like,
that's me cursing you, dude. I'm that's
like,
good.
Oh my God, I want to sit here and just talk so much shit about the Conjuring movies, but I really don't want to make a bad impression on these people right off the bat.
Well, let's be serious. Like, you only hate him that much because I just kept saying I really do hate.
I feel like
the Nun is not the same as the other two.
No, but I mean, to me, they are because they follow the same formula. It's got that. It's overuse of jump scares that are like paint by numbers where you can count them. I'm pretty sure George and I watched one of the movies together and we would sit there and go 5, 4, 3, 2 jump scare.
That's dope.
It's like you can literally count it down.
Oh, speaking of that sort of thing, sorry, unrelated. Yeah, when was the last time y'all watched John Dies at the End? Have you ever seen it?
Of course, I like it. And he doesn't like it.
I don't like the movie.
He likes the book much better. I haven't read the book.
Man, I watched it. So I did both this last week. I watched the movie and listened to the audiobook.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Fucking great, man. The movie's corny as fuck.
It's Boba Hotep directed.
There's some real questionable shit at the end. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? But that's a fun movie. And the book is fantastic.
I love the book. But when I watched the movie, I was just like, there's so much stuff that you chose to focus on and so much stuff that you chose to leave out, and I just question why that was done.
I think the director tried to make it inspired by the book, and I didn't read it, but I'm saying it seems like a book that would be very hard to adapt.
It's dense, dude.
It'd be very hard to adapt.
There's a lot of like stuff where they're like, and we go back to the house, and then we go back to the police station, and then we go back to the house, and then we go back to the police station,
right?
And then we go back to the house, and it's like
it's a lot of narrative. And then and not. But/therefore.
But being that I don't have the book to compare it to, I liked it. I liked the tone it strikes because I liked Boba Hotep, and he also did Phantasm and stuff like that.
Boy.
Exciting is dupe. But I liked a lot of the ideas. I even liked the end where they're playing basketball and the fucking did some other shit.
Jet Lords show up.
Well, that's what happens in the book.
Yeah, I mean, I
did appreciate that they put in the Dick doorknob. That was good.
The Dick doorknob was great.
That's what I mean. Like, I think if it had a different director
to do that
again, I haven't read the fucking source material, but if it had a different director who wasn't such a weirdo, they probably would have like excluded most of that cool shit.
Question: can you read?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm not going to read that fucking book.
Why not? It's fun.
Because I've seen the movie.
Because it's not existential enough.
Exactly.
No, I mean, it's pretty existential.
See, that's with spoken like sauce. Somebody who's watched the movie.
It is.
Read the book.
I know, but I thought you said you hated reading.
Would you do this?
Didn't you say I hate reading?
No.
Not if you hate reading, quote unquote.
I don't hate reading.
I'm going to find it on Discord.
Oh, in Discord? Yeah. No, I hate reading your texts. I should have been more clear about
it. Yeah, you should make a complete sentence.
Would I do the soy sauce?
Yeah, would you do the soy sauce? I don't exactly remember what it does, but I remember.
I did.
I don't have to ask you. Yeah, I know.
I mean, the idea that it gives you fucking connection to the other side, I'm really interested in that.
Yeah, but at a cost. That's what I love. Like, it's like, oh, you get these things. Yeah, but it has some fucking side effects. Yeah. It's not good.
And don't you like need it then?
I think that's more accurate.
Too. I think you just miss it at that point.
Wasn't there supposed to be a third book?
Yeah, there is. There's John Dies at the End, this book full of spiders, and something.
Pocket full of dicks.
Pocket full of dicks. Yeah,
pocket full of kryptonite.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know that third book actually came out. I'm going to have to read that. I didn't like Book is Full of Spiders as much, but. So good.
I said, we saw one more thing. Sophia and I, we went to the theater and watched, we used our AMC thing and watched Cruella. And I am pleased to say, after an initial intro where I was like, what the fuck just happened? It was actually really fun, man. And she actually does really good. And I don't know what the fuck else to tell you. And the production design costumes. Emma Stone.
Okay.
She does fucking pretty good.
I can see her being a pretty good Cruella. I feel like I've seen her cosplay.
I still don't like the idea on paper. Just like, let's do live action.
Everything.
Everything and origins for everything. But that being said, that's why I was kind of like, this is actually kind of really fun. Much more fun than it should be. And it did at least explore a couple things.
Did the dogs talk?
It's too fucking long, though. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Ooh, that's a mistake.
Flew by, though, to the last 20 minutes. Then I was like, this needed to end right there.
The
dogs don't talk, no.
The third in the series is called What the Hell Did I Just Read? Of the John Dies at the End.
I might have to read that. Yeah.
But good. It's not a movie I would have watched by myself. So, but if you have a girlfriend and she wants to watch
or
it.
Or a boyfriend.
Or a boyfriend who likes Cruella de Vil a lot. Yes, good point. Then
you might be a beard.
Go watch it. Yeah, you might be a bear. What?
Yeah. Bear.
And then go watch it and be pleasantly surprised, at least in parts of it.
Yes. Mm.
Like, show it to Ronnie.
I heard they've tried to humanize Cruella de Vil, and they're like, she didn't skin any dogs.
That's
what?
Pretty good because she's a human.
They do a cool thing because they it's a good decision they make to have Cruella as an alternate aspect of this girl's personality.
Fuck the dog skinning thing, right? They did away with it.
Well, because they no. Well, the thing is, you're seeing her young, and they even allude to it. They're like, well, you wouldn't kill anybody. She's all, I'm still young, not yet. And it's like, yeah, you could see eventually she could and would.
Which is like weird because one of the things about like a site or one of the trigger not triggers but one of the indicators of a psychopath is, you know, animal abuse. So like at a young age, she'd be more inclined to murder animals.
It's not that. That's what I'm saying.
See, no, but I feel like it should. Like, I feel like they should spin Cruella de Vil as like a horror movie. Just be like really fucking dark. She's a fucking dog killer.
I heard something real dumb about it though. Somebody was like, how she gets her name in the movie is retarded. Because like her name
can
is.
You, can you not say that?
Her name is. What's her name in the movie? Estella.
Estella.
And so like her mom goes, ha, your name's Estella, not Cruella. And then that it sticks.
And she's like, ooh, that's well, clever. That,
again, though, her name was Cruella. So it's already dumb. So what do you want? I mean, it's a play on the word cruel in the first place.
Yeah,
yeah, but I know. Then, got that.
I got that.
So what do you
what
do you
think?
It's already dumb.
But I don't need to explain.
It's already fucking dumb.
I don't need to explain.
But no, I don't need the movie.
But even if they do explain
that's
it,
my point.
At least like the dots that you're connecting should make sense. Like that's lazy. Well,
I mean, when I mentioned the intro,
that's lazy writing.
You know, the problem is it makes too much sense. That's the problem.
It's just lazy writing.
Actually, that's what I was trying to say. They do a good thing with that though, where they have Cruella and Estella as different aspects of her personality. So one's like an alter ego. So, you know, in like the old Superman movie with Christopher Reeve, where you have him acting like a bumbling idiot at the Daily Planet and mm-hmm. then he's Superman. Mm-hmm. It does a similar thing where she's a bumbling idiot in the, like she has to act like this subservient person and real submissive in public at her job for the fashionista lady. But then as Cruella, she gets these real empowering fucking moments where she can fucking really shake shit up. And they're really like, and they get you to really root for that.
And then her cousin Drewella shows up.
No.
And then when she dies, she changes her name to Booella.
Look, I don't want to hear you guys talk any more shit about Cruella.
We're not. We're just talking facts about Cruella.
It was a lot of fun.
Nice. All right. Any news we should get
and
to,
in the
gentlemen?
Sequel, you meet her brother.
It was Luella. Better. It was better than the Toxic Avenger.
You're fucking out of your goddamn mind. Speaking of the Toxic Avenger, there's 70 trauma films that are coming to theaters and drive-ins due to a partnership with American Genre Film Archive.
What?
Hell yeah!
Can you say that one more time?
70 classic trauma films are coming to theaters.
I will go watch Father's Day at the drive-in.
Is Father's Day on the list? Father's Day is on the list. The Toxic Avenger movies are on the list. Combat Shock is on the list. Bloodsucking Freaks is on the list.
Dude.
do we have Poltergeist on here?
Poltergeist.
Mutant Blast is on the list. Poltergeist is on the list. Rabid Grannies is on the list.
Let's see Mutant Blast at the drive-in. That would be dope.
Mother's Day is on the list. Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD. The Slashening, which you actually liked, is on is on the list. Terror Firmer.
Give me Father's Day. Give me
I still haven't seen Terror Firmer.
That's good shit. There's no info really, but it's all like 35 millimeters. And it's going to be happening soon. Doesn't really say where or when, but, and then
what else talked about
Elijah
Avenger.
Wood being the villain in
We Have Not.
Oh, Elijah Wood got cast as the villain in Toxic Avenger.
And now you said you're very happy about this development.
Fuck yeah, I am, dude. Cause like Elijah Wood, you can tell he's a fan of,
he's a champion of the horror genre.
There you go. Mm-hmm. He said it in a stupider way than I would.
I mean, that being said, is part of you somewhere in a
dirty,
deep,
fucking smart intelligence face?
Is part of you somewhere in a deep corner already lamenting that this is getting more, going to get more widespread notoriety and then become more and more generic?
It wasn't until,
just a little part
it
of
it. Wasn't
you.
Until now.
There you go. you can always rely on me for that part.
You've put that little grain of sand in my clean sheets. So
let's wait for the final product.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little worried that there's so many big names attached already.
It's like the band's first album was the best one, you know?
No, but it's like the band's not even together anymore. Or exactly. Like they are, but like they just got like all these like huge name artists, like Dave Grohl and everybody came to just like pay tribute to it. You know, it's like
that's not good.
One of those super groups, like with Dave Grohl and the guy from Anthrax and fucking.
That being said, like you said, though, Elijah Wood has been.
And like Peter Dinklage is a great actor. So I'm like, cool to have Peter Dinklage in it. And I'm cautiously optimistic.
Do we know who the director is or anything?
I don't think so, but Lloyd Kaufman is still involved. It's a trauma thing. So, I mean, I don't think Lloyd is going to just like let them butcher his boy.
Butcher his butchered film.
You know, so only 2 and 3 were butchered. 1 and 4 were classics.
The ones you gave me.
Did I give you 2 and 3?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they're on a single DVD and then I got a box set collection. So I'm like, well, I have all these. I don't need this one anymore.
We'll see about that.
Yeah,
we'll get you.
That's right.
Ooh, did y'all see what Rob Zombie's doing?
I did, and I'm
super out.
Which role and how many roles does he put his wife in?
Well, then, when someone mentioned it on Discord, I'm looking all over for the trash can emoji. Like I'm just like they're like, oh, I'm so in cussing monster. And like who cares?
I've already seen people coming to like run to be his white knight, where they're like, he's not stupid. Like obviously he's not going to make it like his other movies. Eli Roth made a kids movie without cursing. So
the house
like
with Rob's the cock in its walls.
And it's like, well. This is Rob Zombie. Like, yeah, he may love the Munsters, but he's also fucking Rob Zombie. Like, there is no way he's not putting his wife in this movie. Like, the question is, does he put her as Lillian, or does he really just subvert expectations and pretend his wife is fucking 20 years old and make her mad?
I am completely prepared to be wrong when it comes out if it gets a bunch of good word of mouth and it looks good and I have an AMC thing and I'll go watch it. But as far as hearing about, number one, I don't give a I'm sorry, horror community. I don't give a fuck about the Munsters anyway.
I liked the Munsters. Like,
that's fine.
Yeah, it was one of those things that you would just flip through TV and be like, oh, cool, Munsters are on. It's unoffensive. It's a little bit fun.
I preferred that motherfucker as the judge in My Cousin Vinny.
I preferred that motherfucker in Pet Sematary.
I know what you're thinking. Okay. Don't go down that road.
That's right. What did you say? Because I said, fuck this guy. You said, fuck blah, blah, blah. What's the actor's name?
Oh, shit.
Sometimes.
Is it Ed Gein or something?
No, Ed Gein was fucking Leatherface. Well, not Leatherface, but the guy that Leatherface was based off of.
What does Jorge think? This is what I want
to
know.
I kind of feel the same way. I don't give a fuck about the Munsters, to be honest. I don't have any memories of really watching that
Fred
show.
Fred something, I think.
It's like Adam's Gwynn, Family, but not as good. Is that what I'm remembering?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like, and to be honest, like what I know of the Addams Family is the movies, the two movies.
Yeah. Now, see, my mom watched the show all the time. So like I saw the show a bunch and you're right. It is kind of like the Addams Family, but not as good.
Like how do we exist in a world where Addams Family and the Munsters exist simultaneously? That's some hard on.
Well, I don't think it was hard on simultaneously.
No, what he means though is like, you know, within the same decade they're on TV together.
Well,
like,
that's because writers are unoriginal.
Yeah, but it's some kind of hard on collider shit, like you're saying, dude.
Addams Family, the TV show, is 1964, and the Munsters was. You want to make this difficult. 1964. Well, without, yeah.
Damn, Jorge, did you hear that?
They were literally the same year. They were both 1964.
That's fucking crazy.
It's the same shit that happens when, like, you have 3 volcano movies come out in the same, like, year, man. Yep. Like, it's.
See, I would be.
So, what it probably is was somebody, like, shopped an idea and then, like, it got passed on, but then later somebody was like, you know what? That was a good idea. A family of monsters. Like, yeah, let's do that. And then like,
and I, here's the other thing. The other part of the equation, I have zero faith in Rob Zombie.
Same
about anything. I'd much rather, and Matt's going to, I'd much rather see something that doesn't go like, I don't know, the Safdie brothers monsters or like Ari Aster's monsters movie. That would be fucking dope. But no.
What would the Safdie brothers monsters be?
I don't exactly. That's what they're talking about doing a Pee Wee Herman movie. Like, really? That sounds fucking amazing.
Mm.
Exactly. Like, do something. Let's.
I mean, I'm definitely intrigued by that idea.
I'm intrigued by that too. Paul Rubens has been talking to the Safdie brothers about doing a dark Pee Wee movie.
I mean, I'm into it.
There already was a dark Pee Wee movie, dude.
Big Top, dude. Yeah, or when he goes to see the palm reader in the first one.
Dude, also Large Marge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'll drink to that.
Yeah. That's like when they did the Han Solo movie. It's like, it's an origin movie. I'm like, there's already a Han Solo origin movie. It's called fucking Star Wars.
But like, I mean,
he's like in his early 20s.
But like before.
God,
we want teenage Han Solo.
We want to see how he suckles at the teat of his mom. Like, see what, you know, what kind of baby he was. Who gives a fuck?
Does he suck that blue milk?
Now they're talking about a John McClane. They've been talking about for years a John McClane origin movie.
That's just a mistake.
And I'm like, there's already one. It's called Die Hard. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, he's in his early 30s. What do you
Hollywood
want?
Hollywood is unoriginal. It's just like everything is just going to get rehashed. Get ready. We'll probably have a fucking Gilligan's Island remake soon.
A Gilligan's Island Monsters crossover.
It was called Treasure Island, dude.
Ah, it was called Lost.
They did them together.
Dude.
We didn't know it, though.
Lost is actually Gilligan's
Island. Any other news we should get to?
The guy from Tales from the Hood died. He also played Samson in Half Baked.
What?
You know, like the, what's his name?
Samson.
Clarence Williams III.
What? Died. Well, pour one out for another old dead bitch.
That's Jorge who said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all, yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah. And what?
He was old and he is dead, so.
I believe, is there any other, any other horror movie news?
That's it. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about a couple movies. Gooey!
But dude, you sure what? That one's heartbreaking. It's like this old man and like...
Oh, I did see that.
Dude, he's so good. And he does Slipknot covers too. It's wild.
Some old Slipknot.
Hell yeah.
Hey, man, guess what, dude?
What's up, buddy?
We're freaking back, homie.
Oh, shit.
Why don't you ask me what's up?
Because you'll never know.
Why don't you ask me?
Hey, Rhett.
Yeah?
What time is it?
10:09. It's time to do the show!
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched a pair of movies to kick off Zombie Month, but to carry on with Zombie Month.
Yeah, who's retarded now?
Yeah. Still Army of the Dead.
Still me. You and me both. Still you. What? Still you, but still me.
We watched 28 Days Later and also 28 Weeks Later. 28 Days Later is directed by Danny Boyle.
28 Days Later, which is the name of Red Sex Tape.
I don't see that.
Written by Alex Garland. Starring Cillian Murphy, Naomi Harris, Christopher Eccleston, Alex Palmer, Bindu DeStefani, Juku Hiddleston, David Schneider, Toby Sedgwick, Noah Huntley, Christopher Dunn, Brendan Gleeson.
Ooh, Gleeson.
Gleeson. We're going to start off with 28 Days Later.
Wait, are we doing just one or are we doing them both together?
We're going to do them both together, but we're going to talk about 28 Days Later first.
Okay.
Because that's how we do.
Okay.
Riggedy Red, what'd you think of 28 Days Later, my dude?
Perhaps this isn't particularly surprising to you fellers, but I think 28 Days Later is the most intelligent zombie film.
Thank God.
Ever made.
I thank God, because like he almost got me.
You thought I was going to trash 28 Days Later?
For just a split second, you were going to do a thing.
No.
And I was going to get upset.
No.
And
I really like 28 Days Later. I had done a recent rewatch before we decided we were going to do it on the show a few months ago. I think it's aged really well. It was fucking fantastic when it came out in 2002. I mean, I like Danny Boyle's other work. I like Alex Garland, who wrote the screenplay, who later on did fucking Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a dream team. It's a dream team.
It is. I like the
Cillian Murphy as in his debut fucking film.
Yeah, which is a great debut. I like the, of course, this was trendsetting because they fucking updated the zombies with being more fast and aggressive. It also has this idea of like, it makes this biohazard thing analogous with just this like free floating rage So it's, you know, on an instinctual level, it's not just zombies. It's hordes of angry people who want to rip you up and kill you. And then anyway,
welcome to 2021. Am I right?
Exactly. I like the fucking, I love also that it starts this trope early on where people's intentions, biology doesn't give a fuck about those, you know, like, cause it starts off that I didn't remember like the monkey in the beginning, the people are trying to liberate it. It's animal rights activists are trying to liberate the monkey from animal testing. And it's like the guy's like, no, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. And it's like, so their good intentions, like, okay, now you've released this fucked up virus. And yeah, so it implies this universe, which is kind of accurate, where biology is completely separate from whatever good intentions of ethics you might fucking have. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the filming style, I didn't remember being that gritty.
So good, dude.
Super gritty. But then Danny Boyle does super artsy things with very limited means. The color of a car.
I mean, we'll get into it. Like, there's certain parts that look like a painting, and it morphs into a film scene, and it's gorgeous. I just
really, well, yeah. And then the characters, most zombie movies, I shouldn't say most, but quite a few, I don't give a fuck. This movie has a strong humanist thing in it, meaning like it cares about humanism and it cares about people. The sequel does not as much, which I kind of like for different reasons, but I'll get there later. But the characters I'm actually invested in this movie. You know, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's no. I mean, I've loved 28 Days Later since the day it came out.
Now you love it 28
years later. Married, dude. When people talk about how zombie films are, you know, analogous to the human condition, and you know, the talk of consumerism and base, you know, and they talk about Dawn of the Dead as like the progenitor of that style of zombie film. Like,
shut up, nerd. That movie's not good.
And I go, shut up and watch 28 Days Later, because that's the film that gets it about the, you know, it's just that, you know, when humans are brought down to their base conditions, we're all disgusting pigs, and I love that.
This
shit
is the modern zombie apocalypse narrative.
It's fantastic, you know? Dude. I love this movie, and I like every time I watch it. It's not that I'm like, oh, I found something new, but I always am impressed by the things that I've always been impressed by in this film, and it continues to kill every time.
Nice.
Uh oh.
Yeah, I don't like this movie.
You're full of shit. No.
No, I love this movie.
Okay.
This movie fucks. It hella fucks. I was really discouraged when I saw it was almost 2 hours long. I was like, oh, God damn it. There's going to be so much bullshit. And there's not.
It's a pleasure to watch.
When he's just walking through the city doing nothing, that takes 15 minutes. And it sure as shit does not feel like 15 minutes, because you're so
invested,
like,
visually,
caught up in it. Like, yeah, right away, I'm like, I really wonder how they did this shot. Like, how did they get so many empty streets?
They got clear out fucking parts of London.
They got, right? London to just shut down. Right? It's crazy.
And it's like, how though? Like, I mean, is this an actual thing where they got a permit and shut down like a block? Is this a thing where, like, I mean, obviously there wasn't a global pandemic happening at the time where the streets are just empty.
Good timing.
Well, actually, Drew was saying that they were doing that in Vegas. Like, during the pandemic, nobody was allowed to shoot in Vegas except for like B-roll, just like shots of like empty streets and stuff. That was the only filming you could do in Vegas. No, the movie's great. And of course, it does that whole thing where it's like, humans are the real monsters.
That's what I was talking about.
It does it better than other zombie movies.
Yeah. And it does, because like, it starts off where you have this sense of just being like completely alone, which is like what you would have in a zombie apocalypse, especially if, you know, he wakes up, there's nobody there. He doesn't know what's happening. So then he finds these survivors, and then suddenly, like, you find a little bit of security and a sense of home a little bit. But then it's like, okay, well, we know we can't stay here, and there's a potential cure. And it's like, okay, well, now you have do you go for the cure, or do you assume that it's the worst? And then you get there and everything's great, but it's not great.
It's the worst. Which is like a great thing anyway, because that's universal. Do I stay where I'm comfortable, or if you stay here, you're dead. So you have to go.
And they basically took like everything that zombie movies do wrong, and they did it right. I like that they call it a rage and not that they're zombies, because like they don't actually have to die. Like, and the perfect example is with the dad later on with the little drop of blood. And
great, great scene, by the way.
That's probably the best scene in the movie. That's what I mean about being invested in the characters.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing, is you care about all of these characters. And I think that's one of the big flaws about the second one for me. But this movie's really fucking well paced. It's really awesome. I feel like it could definitely benefit from an HD remaster, because
the graininess. Like the graininess.
See, I like the graininess, but it's, for me, it's too dark at a lot. So I started watching it on Hulu, and I was like,
I had to change too. I went and rented it on Apple.
I rented it on Amazon because the trailer on my phone looked great. I'm like, oh, for some reason, this looks gorgeous. And I spent $4 to fucking watch it. And I'm like, no, this is the same fucking quality, just a little less dark. Yeah. But
I know that opening scene is rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
And then my eyes kind of adjusted.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
And on both of them, the volume was really, really low.
The sound mix is a little bit funky. But I mean, it could do with a little bit of spit and shine.
Speaking of stuff like that.
But you know, like what Rhett was saying, like the graininess, I really like that a lot of it feels like, not like it was from CCTV, but like you're kind of getting a
documentary
view
almost.
Of somebody like spying almost, like somebody's watching somebody through a camcorder.
Yeah, it's this mixture of like lo-fi, but somewhat art house, but also gory. You
get really creative angles, but like
Danny fucking Boyle.
It looks like it's shot like on a fucking potato.
Yeah.
Which is,
that's great. Kind of, that's a good mixture, right?
Yeah. It really
it's like some skilled ass drummer on a piece of shit drum set.
Because when you think about it, it's like,
basically. That's me, dude.
The way it's shot with the juxtaposition of what you're seeing on screen, where it's like this big sprawling city, but it's just shut down. It's like, yeah, we have the technology to record things really beautifully, and we still have the know-how.
We have the technology.
We just have it not as good as it was. It's been destroyed.
I guess it's a little fucking cute to say, like, in you know,
in a world,
seeing this movie in a post-pandemic situation where, you know, we had instances where the streets were fucking completely empty.
Yeah.
And you were driving down
the road. More prescient.
And you would, the moments in this film, like, it's silly and it's stupid where he stops to grab money that's on a staircase.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like, oh, why are you picking that up? But he's like, he has no idea.
He doesn't know
that the world
on.
Is completely fucked.
Yep.
So that moment of him picking up whatever money he can, you're like, oh, because your base instinct is still to, you know, to consume and to fucking, and it's that, all that stuff. Like,
and it makes that point how irrelevant it becomes once that breaks down.
Yeah.
Without banging you over the fucking head.
Without having to showcase
in a mall.
In a mall. That, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
without being a little fucking on the
nose. Vegas with a fucking CGI tiger.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Where you're going in to steal millions when you don't need it.
Dude. It does all of these little moments of, you know, desolation and
hopelessness.
Yeah, like this
futility.
And when Matt talks about like movies that build tension and they
suspense in this fucking
movie. It's just such a goddamn, it's a masterpiece, man. Mm. Even that moment when he goes into the church and there's these just fucking dead bodies.
That's terrible. Dude, that's so creepy where he's just like, hello, and then two heads pop up. It's like, oh fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
And then the fucking priest comes and he goes, oh hi father. And I'm like, oh, get the fuck out of there, man. What are you doing?
Dude, and even like he got charged by a rabid priest and he fucking binked him one. And then even still, his first reaction was, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that.
Going to hell.
He's talking about the norms and everything.
Yeah. He hasn't made the connection that things aren't the same. And like, I feel like this movie is a lot more effective now that we have lived through a global pandemic, because when you see him walking through the streets of London, like, sure, it's cool. And you're like, oh wow, that's like, that's really wild. But you can't imagine what that actually feels like until you've done it. We've had the opportunity to do it now. Like,
well, it seems much more like fantasy prior to last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, the shit was cleared out.
Walking down the streets of the gas lamp, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, Balboa Park and no one's fucking there.
Dude, it's wild. Hella wild.
It was.
Now
it was
just fucking human garbage.
Listen to this. Again. So for the scenes on the motorway, the production got permission to shoot on the M1, which is their main highway, on a Sunday between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. The police gradually slowed traffic in both directions. Using 10 cameras, the filmmakers managed to capture a total of 1 minute of usable footage.
God damn.
Yeah, man. Like, It's like guerrilla tactics, but with like a pretty decent budget.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing too, is like how big the budget on this was.
15 million, 14 or 15.
But like for how gritty and like cheap it can look at, not cheap, cheap's not the right word.
I know
what
you're saying. No, no. But yeah, like, you know. That was intentional.
How gritty and cheap it can look. Right. Like, but it didn't need to. So that's, I think stylistically, that's a really great choice because it just adds more to
it,
the.
It also serves, I think, to kind of obscure the limits of the budget around the edges of the frame. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like if it was like the super high def thing, you would just be, I think you'd be naturally looking for more, I don't know, like broader fucking sets and broader things. But then like when they go in that tunnel and it's full of cars and the lighting's bad and all that, like you get enough. You get enough of the silhouettes. You get yep. enough to understand, and it becomes very anxiety ridden and all that. Like it doesn't need to be high def and all that shit.
See, I was enjoying watching this so much that I actually didn't even take the time to send you guys a snarky message during it. The scene, the scene where they get into the tower building and they have basically the hill of shopping carts. I wanted to text you guys and be like, what's with this fucking set design? They just went out and were like, oh, let's just build a whole set full of shopping carts.
You know,
right with little monsters.
Little monsters, you know? Like 2/3 of the movie takes place in those fucking palaces.
I know, which is why it's a snarky fucking, it's a snarky text. Movie. And I'm like, I'm not going to send that because I just want to watch
even
this movie.
Even that moment where he goes, what's up with tower districts and these shopping carts? Like, you're like, oh, that's a thing. And that's a thing in the UK where like there's fucking is where there's poor people, there's shopping carts. And it's like,
they bring in the sociopolitical.
It's so fucking like everything is so goddamn cool about this movie, man.
Yeah. And then I was reading online, like, you know, looking at different people's opinions over the years for it. But I saw a couple people, not a lot, but a few talk about the third act. I fucking, when we find, of course, that humans are the real problem. Number one, I love the idea of them getting to this where they're trying to go, which is where more humans are. And they get there and it's not what they thought it would be. It's not what it's cut out to be. Yeah. In fact, it's a bunch of military dudes. And there's no women. And as soon as they get there, like it, I mean, the atmosphere in this movie is so fucking strong, and the acting and the editing that as soon as they get there and you don't see any other women there, like, you know, this is not, it's just like, this is not going to fucking go well. Yeah. Like, and then like the whole thing with Cillian Murphy, I always call him Cillian Murphy, by the way.
I do too. And then Alia was like, I'm pretty sure it's Killian. And then I'm like, okay, well, I don't care. And then 2 minutes later, she's shoving a phone in my face with a video telling me how to pronounce
it. Slap the phone right out of her mouth and go,
I don't care.
I go, Peaky fucking Blinders.
That was her first thing. She's like, I love him. And I'm like, who's that? And she's like, the guy from Peaky Blinders. And I'm like,
it's fucking Scarecrow.
I watched an episode of that. Cool.
It's Scarecrow, dude, from Dark Knight Trilogy. No, but when he gets like when he escapes and then he's on the fucking boundaries of the fucking compound and he goes to war with these people, these guys. And it's like, again, like, because you see him, it's the rage. Like, he's not infected with the thing.
He's got his own
rage. It's like, and so this is not just a biological thing. This is like an energy that can fucking find different ways to get in.
Well, at that point, it's like an imperative for him to survive. Like,
right, it's the survival instinct. And
I love that he, during that bit, he kind of let the infected deal with the majority of the soldiers, with the exception of that last guy. And he's like, no, you motherfucker, I'm taking out with my own hands.
Right. And then he did that
super cool thing with his thumbs. And then they were like, hey, you know what? We should definitely do that again in the sequel.
Which is dope. And I will argue with you about it.
I have some thoughts and opinions about
that. It has the fucking movie. The eyes, the judgment, bro. The judgment.
Those are the mirrors to the soul, homie.
That's awful mirrors fucking too. Cute.
You're awful
cute.
It's
got layers. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
It's got layers.
Wait.
They don't leave.
They had that fucking dude, like the guy they had tied up outside and shit. Like, that was a cool detail. Mm-hmm. Like the music, the score.
I don't want to go too far up my own ass about this film, but even like that moment, you know, it like they're I feel like they're talking about slavery and those things.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I was like, when he's like, yeah, we managed to put a chain around his neck. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, dude, and even that little, just that little moment.
It's the nightmare of history.
They're saying so much without telling you, like, huh. Do you get it? Like, do you get it? It's about racism and it's about enslavement. Do you get it?
It's also within its context. Like, it's not it's not stretching credibility to make a visual motif. It's like, no, they probably would do that.
Yeah.
And just, of course they would, because they did.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Like yeah. they did do this shit and they still do when and where they can, like in Abu Ghraib or something like that.
Can we introduce the second movie and then we can bounce back and forth between the two? Because it'd be fun to draw parallels.
Sure.
And I have yeah. thoughts and opinions that I'd really like to get out about the second
so
movie.
So I haven't. Okay. To be,
if you say you haven't watched,
I'm going to be so pissed.
To be transparent, I haven't seen 28 Weeks Later in a little bit. So I watch 28 Days Later pretty regularly. Like that's a film that I see pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen 28 Weeks Later probably in like a year or two.
Oh,
upon close scrutiny.
Oh, you rewatched it. Okay, you did rewatch it.
Oh yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
I,
no,
yeah. no. I was no. like, okay, he no. hasn't seen this movie.
Like, no, I haven't. Seen I was it. Like, that's. I can accept this. Okay,
you're like that's a really weird thing to say. I kind of don't like it. I kind of. I have lots of problems, especially with the final third of this movie, because you've got a film that opens up incredibly. That the first 10 minutes, you're like, holy shit. The pace of this motherfucker is amazing. You've got this incredible, you know, this claustrophobic scene.
It takes the bleakness of the first one and doubles down on it, too.
Does it, though?
Yes. And the reason
I completely disagree.
Well, I here's why I don't disagree. It lacks the humanism of the first film. And instead, it chooses to explore something, in my opinion, that is rarely explored. And it's the conflict between zombie films or otherwise, the conflict between the survival instinct and protecting one's loved ones. And that survival instinct is strong. Like when the moment he abandons his fucking wife.
See, I think that's explored quite a bit, but it's always done a little bit more comedically. It's never done seriously. You know, you see the part where it's like, save us. And then there'll be that pause, you know, where it looks like he's thinking about it. And then the guy sprints off. And then they'll usually yell something like, you fucking asshole, or something like that. Like,
right.
But, I mean, I like the comeuppance that he had later where it's like, yeah, his wife's still there. But no, sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, I just, I don't know, man. I guess I have this bias because it's a British film. And you introduce the Americans and it's like, dude, once you introduce the Americans get introduced, it's a fucking silly action movie.
Fuck that, dude. But they introduced them from the beginning because they're like an American-led NATO force or whatever. And I'm like, it was a little bit
from the moment, like the U.S. military is like, fucking guns loose, bro. I'm like, oh, come on.
See, and
like,
that's the thing. It was a little too here? Deus Ex where they had like the best of everything. It's like they have the super sniper. They have the super general in fucking Idris Elba. They have the super scientist. They have the immune kids. And it's like, it just feels like one of those fucking America rah-rah movies.
Completely disagree.
Well, you're wrong.
No, Alex Garland wrote the screenplay, and I think
Shit what he did. It feels like a Zack Snyder movie is what it feels like.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, there is no rah-rah. It's more bleak than the first one. In fact, it's extremely damning of the entire rah-rah military.
Yeah, more bleak than the first one.
So let me, I'm going to talk real quick. What it says about the military industrial, what it said about the first one explored like the military thing and patriarchal stuff at that compound. This one takes that and doubles the fuck down on it. And it also talks about ideas of control. Like he says, we've lost control. Like they start fucking shooting everyone in the fucking ground. They start shooting everyone in the crowd. And it's like, oh, well, this would never happen. This fucking does happen. So it doesn't matter what the context is. It all ends up at the same place. And then like this whole firebombing the city, they have firebombed the fucking city. They have done this. So again, I think it explores that shit great. What I'm really impressed with about this movie though is as a sequel to 28 Days Later, there's a bunch of directions you could go. And what I really appreciate what Alex Garland did here, he did this. He didn't go like the first movie ends with the SOS. We don't pick up.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Cillian Murphy's on a beach and they're giving a help thing.
No, that's not the end of the movie.
Okay.
He's dead. That's a dream.
Okay.
If you watch at the end of the credits, there's like a 5 minute scene
okay.
where he dies. So
the scene that it ends with, whether it's a dream
it's
or not,
it's not the end.
Okay. Okay. I'm not watching the end of the credits for you, but they didn't pick up where any of that left off or any of that. Okay. Instead, he goes to a completely different group of people.
Right.
He goes to the fucking thing that they died of starvation. So they die of starvation after 5 weeks. This is not like your standard sequel 11 idea.
Weeks.
Huh?
11 weeks.
Look it up, fucker.
I did.
Look it up again.
No, you're the one that's wrong. You're wrong about that being the end of the movie, too.
Look it up one more time.
I can't make a point without you getting semantic with me.
It's almost like this is a text thread, huh?
No.
Both you fucks don't like it.
I haven't fucking said anything. I'm waiting for you to finish.
I can't finish when he goes 11 weeks. 5 weeks.
No, it's not.
I'm just pointing out.
You want to suck the cock?
I'm pointing out your inconsistency.
Dude, whatever it is, that's not my point. My point is, I love that it fucking sets it up after the thing's already been contained, and they've quarantined fucking Britain because it's an island. Okay, they bring it. NATO brings in an American-led thing, and it's like, oh, an American. Yeah, that's what they would do because America's the head of the military-industrial complex. That's the fucking way that would go. And then I like where it goes from there. What's fucking really the most problematic thing is this. They get the chick who has an immunity, right? They put her in a fucking thing, and then the guy sneaks in. He's able to sneak in and get fucking start making out with his fucking wife.
See, sneak, I feel like sneak is not an appropriate word because he just
walks in.
He just walked in. Yeah. And like,
that's fucking a really
big
problem.
In that situation, that room would have been heavily guarded.
Okay. Heavily. Then I was thinking about it though. Okay. Then I'm watching it. I'm thinking about shit like that's happened again, like fucking Chernobyl. Like this shit happens again and again and again and again, dude. Like you would think it would be heavily guarded, but if there's hubris involved, like there always is, and this military, it's a bunch of fucking jarheads that are like, oh, we have control and we have guns and blah 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 blah. And then there's
jarheads. They were army.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah,
not jarheads. I'm sorry. I had to.
Did a previous tour of duty in the Marines. So
I'm sorry. I had to.
There's a bunch. You get what I'm saying?
I know. But I just had to follow.
Yes, I have to do some like contortion stuff to justify that sequence. But where that sequence goes, I liked a lot.
See, and that's more of what I meant about this being a Zack Snyder movie. Was this not there? What I meant is there's like a few parts that I felt were cool. Like I did like the reintroduction of the infected. Like there was a lot of hubris involved. They did put all their eggs in one basket and had one plan. And it's like right from the jump where they're like coming in on the train and they're like, yeah, this is the Isle of Dogs.
It's
like,
not a train.
You're safe to go here.
It's a monorail.
It's a monorail.
Monorail. You can go this way. You can go here, but don't go here. It's like, okay, well, they're definitely going to go there. And, but like, so the reintroduction of the infected was good because like something like that would happen, but they have like the safe zone and there's only one safe zone and it's right next to the infected zone. And that's just, it's, I don't know. Well, that's a silly thing.
Here's the part that kind of gets me the most on this shit is that, so in order for this movie to get going, you've got a few things going on. You've got, so these kids have been on extended quarantine in Spain. Okay.
Right. Cool.
They finally get back to home, but home is in a high rise tower now. Okay, cool. Got it. So then the next thing that happens is these children are able to sneak their way across a bridge with American snipers that are the best snipers, but that happen to miss two kids on a bridge. Okay, cool. Got it. They get to their house, their mother's there, but they've been followed by the American military the entire time. Okay, got it. Okay, so they're going to wait till they get to the house to stop them just because. So then they bring the infected woman back. They find out that the infected woman is immune, or at least not immune, but doesn't carry symptoms of the problem. Okay, cool. Let's just strap her down a little bit and then put her in a room by herself. Got it. The husband, who we were told earlier in the film, is able to control the whole thing and has a pass to everything, is able to stroll right into the room and make out with his infected wife. Okay. Got it. Got it. Got it. Okay. Cool. Understood. And then that zombie's able to back his way out all the way to where
these people are.
Because it's without being able to use a key card all the way back out.
As soon as one guy goes in there, he's fucked.
Got it. Understood. Okay. So then we all of this shit happens, and then we get to a scene where a helicopter pilot is chopping zombies in a field.
See, that's the
and I'm just like, what happened to the subtlety and what happened like, I understand that it's the American military and that's how things are going to be because it's the American military.
Cause America, like,
when you've got a hammer, everything looks like a fucking nail. Yeah, dude. Like that's how things are.
I don't think it's just America. I think it's again,
it's the military complex,
military industrial complex.
But we get to the point where I'm watching.
What way do you think it would go?
I'm watching the sequel of a very subtle and a very controlled movie.
I agree.
Chop zombies in half.
Yeah.
And a great fucking scene.
With a fucking helicopter.
That was cool.
I don't know that I would say great scene. It's a cool scene.
It's cool because of the little details. They show a face go in half, diagonally.
And notwithstanding, the CGI in this movie is
garbo.
Fucked.
Oh, I love it. It's completely fuckered.
And that's the other thing that I'm like, that's not a real helicopter. Why would you even include a CGI helicopter in the scene? I don't need to see it. Just show me military people.
In the beginning, it shows 5 weeks later, the infected have died of starvation. So about 35 days.
Okay, so I was wrong about that. But what about the end of the other movie? Where you missed completely the end of the movie.
I don't care. And it's like...
You didn't even watch the whole movie.
They don't even follow up what happens to them. I presume they're dead anyway, given what happens in the sequel.
I don't know.
They're hella dead.
They're dead from the government. And they're like, fuck these people.
The two women walked out fucking hella big balls.
And I know we wouldn't have a movie without it, but I'm like, how many coincidences need to happen before this movie is able to get going? Like, fuck, man. Like,
what did you think of the idea that they introduced where how she has the, it's kind of a more subtle, to use the word, version of, like, you know how you didn't like in Dawn of the Dead, they have a zombie baby?
Yeah.
Like, in this one, they have the mom has immunity, but she's still infected.
She's still able to carry the virus. Like, right. Motherfucker.
She's still able to carry and still kind of infect. Like, when she's hugging her son, she's got kind of, like, a little, the not rage. Much control over her body.
Yeah.
And also, like, when her husband kisses her, that's why there's an ambiguity. It's like, is that the rage doing it or is she biting him? Well, and what's the difference?
Wait, did she actually bite him?
She didn't bite him, they just kiss.
Yeah, okay. So that's the thing, is because she can still transmit through saliva. So I remember him grabbing
his lip going, ah, like that.
No, because that's where the infection starts. Yeah. I think, from what I could see, it didn't seem like she bit him.
And it did show too, that's my understanding. The other thing was, if you have like full frontal contact of blood being shot in your face, you turn almost immediately.
Right.
Yeah.
If you have just saliva, it takes a little longer.
Right.
So I thought those rules were adhered to.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take a while necessarily, because the dad in the first one got the drop of blood in his eye and he turned within a minute.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Still, not like three seconds. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Thought you meant like a while.
No.
See, and so I did like that, because I feel like if anything, that adds a tad bit of realism to the movie in a movie where you're fucking chopping zombies up with a helicopter.
Which is dope.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. It is dope, but
it's a break in tone with the other film.
Exactly.
Which I'm okay with. I mean,
And I do like it, because I feel like that's something that would happen where, like, in an event like that, where even like with COVID, there's probably people who have natural immunity to it. Whatever the fuck it is, there's going to be a few select people that will have some kind of genetic mutation or whatever that's going to allow them to be.
Yeah, I want to come back to that.
One of the things, the natural immunity thing, but
where I'm going with the dad.
Because
initially when I was watching too, I'm like, how is the dad following them? How's the dad? But then I realized he got infected from the mother. So maybe it's a different strain where that's why I started like when he gouges her eyes out, someone with the rage virus and nothing but the rage virus is not going to do that.
And that scene That scene was rough. Yep.
That's a mean ass scene. Oh,
dude. Yeah.
And that's like, what when I you mean,
realize he's just punching her in the face over and
that's
over.
That's what
again.
I mean. So that's his subconscious is behind, it's with the rage virus. It's not just rage virus. That's what I got from that. That's why later on he wants to kill his kids. And it's like, why would he want to kill his kids? And it's like, well, because that's the last shred of humanity and you want to get rid of that. So it's easier to just be a fucking monster. Does that make sense?
Or even that he's just, you know, at that point, instinct built to
kill
his kids. You know what I mean?
It seems like a personal.
It's like a coded thing at that point.
Yeah, it's coded. I got what you're saying. Yeah. Well, because he still has that subjective memory tied into the thing. Yeah. You get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, yeah, no, I see. I thought
that was an interesting idea.
The thing, and here's the thing. I like Jeremy Renner in this movie. I like him quite a bit. Like I think he's playing this role as well as he can.
I fucking totally agree. He brings credibility to a very
a little bit of charm, a little credibility. But this character, man, it's like you're just an unstoppable machine. Okay, cool,
dope.
Which
which is also, I mean, look,
but it doesn't follow that trope, dude. That's why I loved about this. Like, things keep going wrong. He fucking gets fucking flamethrowered to death. Like, that's.
Oh, dude, I was dying during that part. Fucking, that shit's
funny, dude.
It's fucking great.
See, no, but it was cool to see him lit on fire, but it wasn't great in the sense that it once again felt like a tonal shift. Like, it felt like the fucking brave American, like everything feels too fucking American, big dick, rah rah for me.
And I didn't get that at all. I got that really? It was they're killing him for no reason.
No, because like
it's bleak as fuck. The and people, your hero dies horribly.
The people in here that were the effective ones were the Americans. Basically, the British were stupid and just getting mowed down, with the exception of the kids who kept getting like into trouble anyways, and then
wacky, you know, kid hijinks.
I don't get that. The vibe of the first one, I get this humanism, and this one I actually get a misanthropic vibe. I don't think it likes anybody. Also, like, here's the idea too. They have this kid with immunity, and what happens? You know, well, how this movie ends, no one knows he has immunity except the fucking the sister.
Well, it doesn't fucking matter because like he's already in the helicopter.
Which is great.
Is it? Because
how many times has that happened? Have there been situations where someone had immunity we didn't know because we were too busy fucking firebombing shit?
Oh, see, because what I think is how many times that happened where it's like somebody's infected, but we know, but they don't know. And then they take them out of the infection into... See, and to me, that's once again another strike against this movie, because where the first one did everything different, it's like, hey, we're going to take all those tropes and fucking ignore them. This one is like, we're going to take all those tropes and just fucking stroke them raw. And that's what they did. They took every single zombie trope and they just turned it up. Like the excessive, like the fucking helicopter blade and the super heroic American soldier and the taking the virus.
I don't care that he's out of
the quarantine.
He was
zone
one good. The rest of them were assholes.
Well, fine. That's fine. But it's still a trope.
Either way, that's showing the chain of command. Like if you get an order, most people are going to follow orders. That's what people do. And that's like, we're fucked. Like that's and they're fucked and it didn't do anything. That's why, like, the futility, they have them there like this, just a bunch of futile compulsive activity. They're like, oh, free fire now, kill them all, and then they're all dead and within a day anyway, regardless of fucking sniping all these people. The futility of it, that's what I liked about it. Like he says, we lost control. It's like he's looking and he knows they're fucking next, and it's like, yeah, none of your shit worked.
I think that the sort of like outwardly fantastic elements would work in another film.
Like Aliens.
I just think it's I don't know, dude. Maybe I'm up my own ass about, you know, the 28 series, the 28.
Dude, the first one is a fucking all time classic. I think this is a pretty worthy. I think this is a sequel that's better than I would think it has any right to be.
See, dude, I felt opposite, especially like watching them like nearly back to back.
Yeah.
The drop in like consistency and quality to me is almost laughable.
Yeah. Nah. I 100% agree. Like,
I like the difference between the two.
28 Weeks Later was a real chore for me to get through. Like just paying attention to staying. It's 20 minutes shorter and it felt longer. Like I just stopped caring.
Like a helicopter chopping up zombies. I'm fucking in on that.
It's hella tight.
Super in on that.
But in this movie.
and snipers chuckling about people fucking in skyscrapers, dude, I'm in on that. But like, I just the tone of it is so off-putting in comparison to our predecessors.
There's no humanism. There's no jokes. There's no nut. There's no.
Well, there is jokes. That's the problem.
When those guys, those aren't. See, when those guys are making jokes with each other, That's not played for laughs for the audience. It's showing guys making jokes like idiots. I don't think those are supposed to be like, haha, they're making funny jokes for the audience. I think they're showing military guys on a rooftop. I didn't laugh at those parts because I don't think you're supposed to laugh.
Would you say they're standing on a rooftop ready to fall?
I'd say like, shout it on the rooftop right now, baby, I'm ready to go.
What is that? That's the Veruca Salt?
Yeah,
nah, that's not Veruca Salt, is it?
Some plan, I don't know.
Is that Elektra? Or,
look it up. That shit's dope. That is a mean-ass riff, dude. I do appreciate that you said that was a rough scene, though, where he kills his wife.
Oh, yeah,
That's a mean fucking... And that's what I mean. I really... I know that sounds like, why do you appreciate it? Because I appreciate that it went
Republica, not Elektra.
It goes with the opening of that film, that scene... To me, when they flamethrower the guy, it just has this pessimism that I dig.
Man. I fucking laughed. When Jeremy Renner gets blasted by that flamethrower, I'm like, well...
Yeah.
Should have stayed in the car, stupid.
Yep. I'm like, that's what you
Which get. Obviously, which obviously people, isn't the right answer. But
I love
like,
movies that remind people that they have no control. I love that. So that's one of the reasons I like
it. I was really reminded of the movie The Mist during that part. And I really wanted them to just I really just wanted them to shoot that kid and then The Mist to go away and to be like, oh.
Cool. Zombies are gone.
Yeah. What'd you think of the scene where the people are all like crammed into that thing and then it's in the dark and then one of them gets in there and starts all that hustle and bustle.
Yeah, when the dad gets in there. Yeah, that's a good scene.
And what'd you think of the night vision part?
To be honest, I was tuned out for most of
the night
part.
Vision in the subway?
It's like, okay, well, it's dark and there's a shaky camera and you're yelling at people like, okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't know, man.
You're entitled to
just
that.
Call this movie Zombie Tower Movie, and then I'm probably more in.
It's dope. You know what? I think somebody...
call it... What was
the... I'm not over here saying it's better than the first
one. What was the
one
Romero one that was kind of the same thing where they had a
Land
tower?
Land of the Dead.
Call it Land of the Dead, too.
Starflowers.
Get the fuck out of here.
Starflowers.
It's like somebody watched 28 Days Later and said, man, I'd love to ruin that.
You're still...
I don't know that it's ruined,
like
man.
Like it's Hell House LLC 2 and 3 or something.
No.
Yeah,
comparatively, yes. Like when you're talking...
There's a lot of shit horse
when equals. Have you seen the first Hell House yet?
No,
he has
see
not.
Dude, but I know it's a already legendary example
so
of a
you
drop off.
You don't know, but like that, see, so tonally, yes, like that stark change in tone, that's like the kind of thing that you see from Hell House 1 to Hell House 2 and then even from 2 to 3. Like arguably those are significantly worse of a drop off than this is. Like, well, this I could be like, yeah, I'd watch 28 Weeks Later again. Like, I wouldn't choose to, but like...
Well, I guess we can all be grateful they didn't keep making them and they got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, because I think they were talking about doing it 28 months later.
Well, and...
It's happening.
Danny Boyle and Alex Garland said in 2008 they had a good idea for it, but it has yet to occur.
A good idea that's taking 13 years.
I saw something.
Well, they went and did other shit. Like Danny Boyle fucking went and won an Oscar for Slumdog Millionaire. He did 127 hours. Fucking Alex Garland started directing.
I feel like those are two pretty big movies.
They're dope. Did you see
Looks
them?
Looks like the plot
I've seen,
is
actually,
under,
I've seen both of those.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's why I like Danny Boyle. Like, you know, 127 hours. How do you make that visually engaging?
Right. I was just going to say a movie where basically he's stuck between two rocks for the entire film. It's like, well...
And
it doesn't. It doesn't get boring though. That's like entertaining and exciting the whole way.
Yeah, when he's like drinking
Unlike
his own piss, the
later.
Camera's like inside the straw and shit. I'm like, dude, what are you
doing?
Oh,
see, that reminded me. I think 28 Days Later is the first movie I ever saw with a dick in it that was non-porn.
Is that Killian's schlong?
Yeah, right at the beginning. He's just sitting there on the bed with his uncut cock just hanging out.
It's all flop house.
He's like, I don't need to trim my pubes.
Like the worm from Dune.
You're going for a second one, Doug?
Like Shai Halud?
I need to. I didn't get into my evening. I had a rough evening. I slept on the couch.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, we're gonna
end there. So
we're gonna end right there.
Into Red's
so
personal
that's
life.
Episode 312 for the Who Goes There podcast. You know what, dude? 28 Days Later, fucking
fuck.
If you had if you have the fortune of not having seen 28 Days Later, dude, you're in for a goddamn
trip. That's a movie I would love to see for the first time.
Would you recommend the sequel if they haven't seen it?
No.
I certainly would.
I would.
There's a lot of shit horror movies.
Maybe watch 28 Days Later and then like a month later watch 28 Weeks Later.
Don't watch them back to back. Like give it a little bit of time. Like really let the magic of 28 Days Later wash over you and then fade away.
Yeah.
Before you like
dive right into the sequel.
What do we got next week? Is that Wreck?
Fulci Zombie. we only have to do one movie next week. And I'm pretty sure it's 90 minutes. So
yeah, but it's Fulci.
It's a zombie.
Be prepared to change your mind about 28 weeks
zombie
later.
Zombie punching a shark.
Yeah, zombie shark fight. That's what we're in store for.
Oh God! All right. Well, that's it. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
Bye, Sophia.
Oh, you're trying to win your way back into the bed?
Of course.
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever going to be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.